A surprise legal discovery from last week could call into question nearly 30 years' worth of decisions by the Troy Zoning Board of Appeals. The Times Union reported that the legal code states that, quote, granting a variance from any requirement of this chapter shall require the concurrence of 4 members out of 5 of the Zoning Board of Appeals, close quote. However, for years, the Zoning Board had granted variances with a simple 3-2 majority. One current variance, now in play, regards a developer seeking to turn the Armenian Church in the Hillside neighborhood into RPI student housing. WOOC reporter Dan Pfeiffer chatted with Hillside residents Amy Halloran and Jack Magi about their resistance to the proposed development and the possible repercussions of the new legal finding.
The first thing we knew about it, I think I saw a sign up, and then a couple weeks later, we got a notice that there was this proposal before the zoning board to turn it into student housing.
And the first time the proposal came before the zoning board, they were applying for 48 to, you know, house 48 people, which is a lot more than our zoning allows. Our zoning was changed in 2015.
You wanted to make it harder for
commercial developments like this. We worked with council people, and the city council created new zoning. So our neighborhood is one of the few in the city that have updated zoning, and the application within a year and a half of the zoning getting changed, asking for a variance to that. So the first time we spoke at the meeting, we had a whole bunch of neighbors.
That was December.
And the Zoning Board of Appeals was very receptive to what we said. They were super happy that we were involved, and they were friendly. They praised our children, who were articulate about the issue, and they praised our neighborhood for being coherent in and showing up and asking for something. They told the applicant that he needed to, listen to us and make a change. And they suggested that, a smaller number might be... They suggested that.
A smaller number of
students.
Dwelling units and students, yeah.
The applicant is a lawyer with a prominent...
local law firm. And I think he's been practicing law in this city and represents RPI actually for decades.
Yeah. We invited him over for pancakes. He brought a pie. He listened, but I don't think he heard us because after the meeting, he sent us a proposal that was not much different. We don't want parties. We don't want trash left out all week. We don't want...
A sense of transience.
Yeah, people who are not invested in being here. We've all been students, and we know what the priorities are, and they are not connecting with other people who are rooted raising families. We asked for family housing. How about making units that would appeal to families? That was one big request. And when we got the new plans, they had dropped it down to half, and that was about the only change. So the second time we went before the Zoning Board of Appeals was a very different experience than the first. The chairperson was rude to us, censored what we could and couldn't talk about, was impatient that we had an opinion, seemed to suggest that we would be impossible to satisfy, and couldn't understand why we weren't happy the guy had given change, done some change. So what do you people want? It was really stunning how unpleasant the chairperson was to taxpaying citizens. I saw a lot of my neighbors after that night, and it's just an ugly feeling to have your representatives chastise you like the head of a detention hall. It's really gross. But aside from the grossness, you know, there is this huge threat to our quality of life. That meeting was challenging, not just because we were chastised for having an opinion, but because they did all these strange procedural wiggles that are kind of mind-blowing. As they were about to vote on things, there were two people voting to deny the application, two people voting to allow it. And it was a tie, so because it was a 2-2 scenario, we didn't have a tiebreaker zoning board at the time. At the beginning of the meeting, the applicant had the chance to wait until there were five, but they went through, they did the vote, they got to a tie, and then the applicant said, "Can we table it?" And then a lawyer who was there with the applicant, another lawyer, was consulted by the chairperson, so it was not a non-partisan lawyer, it was a lawyer with a vested interest in this, was consulted about the legality of this move.
It just, the big issue is that this just went on the market, and immediately this proposal came through. It didn't have time to be on the market and to allow other more conforming uses to be proposed. You know, nobody else had a chance to bid on the building. And that's what we'd like to have happen, basically. And, you know, if in the end nobody buys the building once it's been on the market for half a year or a year or something like that, it's like, oh, well, it's got to... Then they would have an argument that it's not marketable for anything but that purpose, but that hasn't been demonstrated so far.
So the way that they... The reason they were arguing for they deserve a variance is because of hardship. The hardship being that there's nothing else you can do with a church.
They have to demonstrate that in the application, which you've probably seen, right? So they have to say, you know, there's no feasible economic use for this building except what we're proposing. And the proof of that, in our mind anyway, and I think in our lawyers too, is that would be the market, sort of like, let capitalism figure it out, right? It's just like, it's available. Let's see if anybody else shows up and expresses interest. And that hasn't happened.
And the other proof against that argument is that just blocks from us, a former church has been renovated to become a series of artist studios. So there's this very clear demonstration that...
With the waiting list and sort of overflowing. So
you can do something profitable with a former church building.
Profitable enough to buy it. I mean, yeah. We don't care particularly about how much profit is being made.
How concerned are you that the comprehensive plan will tip things against the new zoning? I mean, it seems like things are still in a very early draft.
I haven't had a chance to read it, but my sense from the presentation was that there's an emphasis on rezoning, on getting zoning right, whatever that means, which could be bad for individual neighborhoods, I guess. But since we already have an updated one, it's like it seemed to me that it's other parts of the city that need their zoning updated, and we might not need ours updated, hopefully. My real concern in all of this is just that we have a poorly functioning zoning board. And, you know, it should be operating with detachment, and so it just, yeah, it should be deliberative, and it should be have detachment, and that doesn't seem to be the case.
Somebody went digging around, and potentially that was the result of the pressure that we were putting on, but I don't know that that's the case. I mean, the digging that happened may have been the result. that we were drawing to the case, but I'm not really sure that that's true. The law is hundreds of pages long, and it's hard to read, and there are bound to be things that conflict with one another in it, especially as it gets changed over time. So it's not that surprising to me, but I'm going to wait to see if the city actually does reverse the decision. It potentially reverses lots of decisions going back 30 years. You know, anybody who had a 3-2 decision could potentially take some kind of action. It could open up some floodgates. So that's not necessarily a great thing, but it's just a weird thing. The way that the zoning board has been functioning in our fairly brief experience, both with our particular NIMBY event here, literally in our backyard, but more, I've been to a few other zoning board meetings over the past couple of years, and the way that the process is carried out doesn't seem particularly rule-bound. And as I've gotten into this process through the events in the situation in my backyard, I've come to realize that it's supposed to be a very rule-driven process. And so that, it concerns me both because the proceedings were particularly uncivil at times, but also the point that I'm making about just the sort of rule-oriented or law-oriented nature of the zoning board has clearly not been happening. It seems like more of a subjective situation of, you know, do people like the idea? Do they think it's a good proposal or something like that? And that's, as I'm coming to understand, that's not the function of the zoning board. I can say from what little bit that I've heard that it's very unusual that most zoning boards in the state anyway, that most of them function on a straight majority basis. So, I mean, there might be an argument for making it in line with other zoning boards across the state. There also might be an argument for keeping it, making it much harder to get variances. So I'm not sure. That, I think, shouldn't, you know, if it were up to me, I would say, let's think about that for a while and have, like, a discussion about it and not jump to a conclusion about how that should change or not change.
From what I understand, you had hired legal representation. Was that the mechanism by which this was discovered? Do you know?
I can't quite remember. It's either one of our neighbors or somebody on the city council or somebody. I can't quite remember how it first emerged, this bit of law that emerged. It's still kind of amazing. I mentioned that there could be potentially people who also got 3-2 votes who would go back and ask for a review of their case or a change in the outcome of their case. And there was one that seems kind of similar to ours, but I think more egregious in some ways, which was a development on Oakwood Avenue, which was heard at the same night as ours, so the beginning of March, a week ago now, and that was also decided on a 3-2 vote, and so I'm thinking that proposal also will be or has been reversed. That decision probably has been reversed already, and so that's a big deal for that neighborhood because they worked pretty hard as well to oppose it, and it took a very long time to finally make it through and get voted on. And so I'm really hoping that neighbors across the city, you know, citizens across the city will see the importance of participation in government. I'm hoping it's a way that will bring people together, especially from different neighborhoods and within neighborhoods. So that's the sort of the most exciting part about it to me.
That was WOOC reporter Dan Pfeiffer chatting with Hillside residents Jack McGuy and Amy Halloran about the Zoning Board of Appeals. The next Troy Zoning Board of Appeals meeting will be held Tuesday, April 3rd at 6 p.m.
If you're just